jot something down that should make life simple for all of us here. Give me just a moment. Okay. 1 Kings chapter number 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 3, 1 Kings 3, 3. Brother Foster, do you sit or stand? What do you do?
I don't.
All right, let's remain seated. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." Let's pray, and I'd like to just briefly look with you here at what was a great day in the nation of Israel. There's going to be a massive sacrifice that's made here at Gibeah. There at the tabernacle, the temple has not yet been built, and it's an incredible day. Solomon has been solidified as the king, but he's still very new. And on this great day, God changes his life forever. He asks him, "What do you want? And I'll give it to you." And on this great day, where Brother Foster, the other Brother Foster, Brother Colt, is ordained, I see several parallels that I'd like to just give you by way of encouragement, and I'd like to preach on that subject on a great day, because today is a great day. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And so let's look in God's Word, let's ask for His help, and we'll get right into the message. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the chance to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to open Your Word. What a privilege it is. How grateful I am for the honor to be here at the New Heights Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, so much for the people of this church. Thank you, Lord, for the pastor and for his family. What a tremendous, tremendous encouragement the church and he have been to me and to my own family and our own church. So, God, I stand today in a debt of gratitude that could never be repaid. So I thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness and for your faith. And I thank you for allowing me to be able to have a faith that has been given to me by you. And God, I pray now you would just take these next few moments. I ask you to speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you would use this time to be an encouragement. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Solomon has been chosen by David his father and chosen by God, if you'll study the Bible closely, to be the next king. A king is not the same as a pastor. But both are men whom were chosen to lead God's people. And so while they are not identical, there are some similarities. And I'd like to look with you at this passage of Scripture. God brought this to mind as the opportunity to come before you this evening was given to me. And this passage of Scripture came to mind. And as I did, I have just really three thoughts that I'd like to share with you from this passage of Scripture on this great day. This was the day that solidified Solomon as the wisest man to live in his day. This would be the day that the ripple effects of it would carry over for the rest of his life. the wisdom that God granted him this day allowed the kingdom to enjoy incredible peace and prosperity. The wisdom that God granted him that day allowed him to himself experience immense wealth and incredible accomplishments. For fun sometime, you study the life of Solomon and you see he built zoos, he did scientific endeavors. I mean, it was incredible all the things that he did. He gave himself later, after abandoning much of God's wisdom, to the pursuit of everything that man seeks after. And ultimately, the preacher of Ecclesiastes figured out and tells us, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. As I look at this passage of Scripture, though, this is a great day in Solomon's life. The Bible tells us that Solomon loved the Lord and that he walked after the commandments of David his father. And it shows me here the first thing that you have. I want to just say these to cult and to the church simultaneously, but you have a great heritage. You have a great heritage. The Bible tells us that Solomon loved the Lord, and while speaking about Solomon, it says that he walked in the statutes of David his father. And I say, what a great heritage the New Heights Baptist Church has. I am so grateful that sitting around the table for the ordination today and for the time of questions earlier, before the ordination happens, were men who, just like myself, were able to become and see our churches established because of your church and because of the investment of your church and because of the investment of your pastor and your giving and your people. In your case, you sent a crew of people to come set up our sound system. Now, I think Brother Foster did that because he was concerned. He didn't want to make sure I wasn't preaching false doctrine, but it still worked out. Still worked out. One, I didn't preach any false doctrine after that time, and then since then, it was a tremendous blessing. Brother Bryant mentioned that they still use the sound system that New Heights Baptist Church gave. They came and set one up for us. He might have been checking your preaching app. Was he having you mail him sermons? I think that was just me. I'm pretty sure that was just me. But anyway, you have a great heritage. You have a great heritage. You were raised in a Christian home. It's a tremendous thing to be able to look back and to be able to say, thank God. And if you parents have children that you are raising in a Christian home, you are giving to them the greatest gift that you can give them. Amen. Of a home that fears God. And listen, you can learn. If you didn't have a good dad, you can learn. Because you know better than probably anyone how helpful it would be. And if you had a dad or a mom that wasn't a good example, then you got firsthand example about what not to do. And I think that's still a powerful teacher. But what a great thing it is when you can look and say, I was shown the way. And you have a great heritage. His father, David, is the metric by which a good king is going to be measured. They're going to be. It will be said about a king that they walked in the ways of David, their father, or that they did not. And there were metrics for those who were wrong. But you have a great heritage. Solomon is not embarrassed. He's not ashamed of it. He embraces it. He goes on to say in verse number 6, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." And he is obviously humbled by the fact that he gets to walk in the steps of the incredible man who was his father. And I just say you have a great heritage. Not only that, you have a great calling. You have a great calling. Now, while I said that they are different, I notice some similarities. He says in verse number 7, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father." And he says this is a great calling because God put it on his life. If you know anything about Solomon's brothers, there were a lot of them that thought that that was God's calling for their life. Read the previous chapter. He's got to deal with one of them in the previous chapter who said, you know, I think it's actually my calling as well. And so he goes to Solomon's mom and tries to do a workaround that's going to allow him to have a claim for the throne. But he understood that God had been the one at work in his life. And I am confident that it's God who has called you to preach, and it's God who has led you into ministry. And so you have a great calling, one, because it's from God. And then if you look at verse number 8, he says, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people." Why is it such a great calling? Because God has called a pastor to lead his people. I mean, it's an incredible honor to know that God has people, and he has entrusted the leadership of his people to a shepherd that is to follow, of course, the great shepherd. But what a great calling it is that we have, and what a great calling it is that you have. You have a great heritage, you have a great calling, and as Solomon stands there with a great heritage and a great calling, he had some great needs. He had some big needs. Solomon's offering a massive sacrifice. 1,000 animals are going to die this day by the tabernacle. They're going to be offered before the Lord. The priests will offer them, but Solomon's presenting them. They're from him. He's the one who's paying for it. And then at night, God appears to him, and he says, "Ask what I'll give you." And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I see some great needs. And here's the first one. The work is greater than you can do. The work is greater than you can do. Look what it says in verse 8. "This is true for the pastor of any church. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. A great people," watch this, "that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Pause for a second here. Did the nation of Israel ever get counted? Yeah, they did. That wasn't a trick question. This isn't, you're not getting ordained, all right? That wasn't a trick question. Did the nation of Israel ever get counted? Sure. You might be familiar with a book in the Bible called Numbers, for example. Yet Solomon, as he stands before them, and by the way, if you remember, David at one point decided to number the people foolishly, and it cost him. And Solomon says, "I'm standing in front of the people that can't be counted for multitude." Now, this was not a people that numbered in the billions, but he looked at them and he goes, "It's way more than I can handle. It's way more than I can handle." People work is difficult. One, of course, because there are innumerable people to reach. I came through this megaplex of concrete once we got in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I once again in awe by your overpasses and your, and you even have a special pay-to-speed lane in Texas. It's amazing. They'll tell you, you want to speed for the next mile? That'll be $1.10. And Texans say, "Yes, please," right? And there are so many of you that are here. Now, I do not know where God will ultimately lead you, but I know this. I pastor in a substantially smaller town. Our town's 15,000 people. Oh, wow, that's a small town. It's still 15,000 people. That's way more than I can handle. I have 4 children. That's more than I can handle. Amen. I managed to keep their name straight, so I'm doing better than my parents did. It's really bad when your mom forgets your name and you have 3 sisters and no brothers. Amen. Oh, me. All right. Oh, Heather David. How could you think I was Heather ever? Anyway, but the need is greater than you are. Why? Because there's a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of people. It's a big job to do. And not only that, and I say this, just being real candid with you, I believe people work is the hardest work there is. Yeah. And here's the reason why. If you're a framer, you can frame the house. Right. And you go, square, it's up, it's solid. If you're an electrician, you can complete a circuit. If you're a plumber, you can fix a leak. But people can't just get fixed. I had a lady come to me and she said, "Oh, I need some advice." And she told me about the relationship she was in. I quickly figured out the guy was a con artist. I mean, just a con artist. And it was a bad, he picked a bad mark to con. She doesn't have any money. But she was being con. And so I said, "Look, he's conning you. I'm certain of it. This guy isn't who you think he is. He's not an underwater welder living in Germany who happens to need money from you." Yeah. All right? He's not. I said, "I'll prove it to you. Ask him to send you a picture. Have you shown any pictures from Germany?" "No, he hasn't." I said, "He's conning you." All right. So I said, "Look, you need to dump this guy. It's terrible news." So she agrees. I'm like, all right, one leaky faucet stopped. The next day, she's engaged. I'm just saying, things like this happen. You can meet with somebody for hours, and you can think, "Praise God, we had a breakthrough. Hallelujah." And then the next week, you figure out, I don't know what we had, but it wasn't a breakthrough. It looks like a break-in, and Satan was the one who broke in. And I'm just saying that people work can be very frustrating. It can be very frustrating. He has a great need. The work is greater than you can do. The work that your pastor does is greater. I love when people think, oh, he just works 2 days a week. And I think, man, I try to get a day off a week. I try. And he does substantially more than you realize. And there is substantially more that goes into it. Not only is the work greater than you can do, but your need for God's help is also never ending. Your need for God's help is never ending. Notice what Solomon says when he says, ask what I shall give thee. He says in verse number 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. Oh, I see why Solomon was asking for help. He was just a little toddler. Well, read the first part of the chapter. He got married. He's making an affinity with Pharaoh. He's not a little child, but he sees himself as one. In other words, I'm helpless. God, I need your help. And by the way, you want to learn from this Solomon, because this is the Solomon whom God gives wisdom to. Right. This is the Solomon whom God grants his request. And he says before God, he says, I need your help. It's interesting because he also goes on to talk about how that he needs understanding and wisdom. He says, I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. That means to go out and come in is a reference to war. The king would lead them out, and then he would return back. And he was saying, my father was a man of war. I don't know how to do that. I'm not a man of war. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. I'm but a little child, and God's going to give to him understanding, and he's going to give to him wisdom. Now, just for your own sake, flip back to 1 Kings chapter 2. I want you to see something about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2. This is before, because you're going backward, so this is before that incident that we're reading about in 1 Kings 3, when God says, ask what I shall give thee. David is getting to be, he's approaching his time to depart the earth. And so he's speaking to Solomon, and he's going to set some affairs in order, and he's going to give Solomon what I consider to be unfinished business, is what he's going to give to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, remember, Solomon says, I need understanding heart. I need wisdom. God says, I'll give it to you. Solomon says, I'm a child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. 1 Kings chapter 2. And notice what David, his father, says to him in verse 6. Do therefore according to what? Thy wisdom. And let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace. Go down to verse number 9. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a what? A wise man. Do you think that David was just giving him false confidence? I don't. I think he looked and said, you've got wisdom. I'm explaining to you the problem. You should be able to handle it. Do according to your wisdom. You're a wise man. And your needs for God's help is never ending. Solomon was not a total buffoon. His father looked at him and said, you are a man and you are a wise man. And he came before God and he said, you know what I need? I need more wisdom. I need more understanding. Wisdom, of course, is the right use or exercise of knowledge. It's the choice of right ends and the best means to accomplish them. You're given commands by God, but you need wisdom to know how best to accomplish them. You're going to need a lot of wisdom. And you're never going to have enough. And you're never going to come to the point where you say, well, I've been at it this long, and I think I now have it all understood. No, you still need God's wisdom. And as a church, you should remember this, that you need to bombard heaven and to be praying for these men whom you have had a part in ordaining and sending out, because they stand before a great work to serve a great God, to lead His people, and they've got great needs. They need wisdom, and of course, they need humility. Solomon says he doesn't know how to go out or how to come in. I think pretty clearly he did. He had some knowledge. He had understanding. David called him wise, but he did not look at himself as someone who had it together. And that Solomon received the blessing of God. Amen. You need humility. Sometimes people will inadvertently, especially they're trying to be nice, they'll say something nice to you. Maybe you'll preach a message and they'll say, oh man, that was a great message. praise God, right? I don't beat people up if they say something nice to me. I know some people take their Bible and they're like, praise the Lord, right? Okay. Personally, I need all the compliments I can get because they come rarely. So what I always tell somebody is, I really appreciate you saying that, all right? I appreciate you saying that. That's very kind of you to say. But I also know this, anything good that happens, happens because of God. Amen. Happens because of God. Oh, pastor, there was a lady in our church. She said, pastor, you saved my life. She was gonna take her own life, and we led her to Christ. Another man led her to Christ, outdoor knocking. She's come to our church. It's a glorious thing, right? You know who saved her? That was God. Amen. Yeah, it wasn't me. That was God. It wasn't me. She said I was going to kill myself, and after I had started coming to church, I was going to kill myself a second time. She said, and I saw you in Walmart. I said, and? She's like, yeah, and I decided not to kill myself. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with this. Spend more time in Walmart? It's clearly God. It's just at work. Right? I don't get to take any credit for that. Listen, everybody, write this down. Go to Walmart 3 times a week. You may not know it, but you're saving lives. No, of course you're not. No, God uses you. You need humility. You need humility, and then, of course, you need God. You need God. I challenge as a church to pray for him. He's headed into deep waters, waters that are going to require the trust of God, the leadership of God. It's a wonderful day. I am thankful that the New Heights Baptist Church has a wonderful heritage that is being promoted and that is being shared and that is being replicated and that is being multiplied. I can tell you that when New Heights came along and inquired about the situation I was in for monthly support, and we were in pretty dire need for monthly support, and at that time, they dedicated a portion of their missions giving to a home missionary. And they said, we want to do that for you. And in almost one conversation, the amount of support I had almost doubled. Because I was pastoring and had been bivocational for a year and really was unable to raise support. And I remember what a difference it made. And so we do this really creative thing now. You'll be really impressed by it. We give more money to a church planner, a domestic one, for a time. That's a really great idea. Amen. I learned it from you guys. I'm being sarcastic. It's not my idea. I took the things that I learned from you and from your church and from your pastor and tried to replicate them. He's helped me immensely when it comes to missionaries and learning about due diligence and things to do and not to do. And you have a great heritage. And your impact is deeper. I believe you'll only know in eternity the impact of your giving to missions. It'll only be in eternity that you realize what a part you've had to play. And that's just on the domestic side that I'm aware of. But there are churches all over who humanly speaking, have the biggest thank you to New Heights Baptist Church. Amen. So I say, keep doing right. Keep giving. Keep encouraging. Keep serving. Keep praying. Lift him up. The day will come when he does go somewhere else. Right. Don't forget about him. And I know you know, he won't let you forget about him completely. But don't forget about him in prayer. Ask God. Pray for Brother Giordano.
Amen.
Pray. Amen. Amen. And I don't mean for any specific reason other than just because he's Brother Giordano. So he needs prayer, right? But your church had a tremendous investment into him that is still paying out dividends. Lift him up before God. What a wonderful thing it is. And you as a church, I hope you'll do everything you can to be as supportive and helpful of your pastor as he's pouring himself into other men, because that is the work of multiplication. And it is a wonderful work. And I stand before you just to say how grateful I am that he did that for us. Thank you so much.
If you'd stand with me once again, turn in your hymnals to hymn 82. Hymn number 82, God Will Take Care of You. We're going to sing the first verse and the last verse. Hymn number 82.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide.
on the last.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen. Brother Jed, if you'd make your way to the pulpit. We're going to have an instrumental tonight, so Brother Colt and Kelsey and Brother Travis, if you'll make your way up here and get ready for your instrumental number. I'd ask Mrs. Jett, did Brother Jett bring his harmonica? He's a well-known harmonica player. And she says, no, but I'm glad you didn't ask him. I'm kidding. But maybe we have to do that some other time. And so they're going to play an instrument. You got to get your mics and all set up here. Okay. I tell you what. I was going to play along with them as Brother Travis was not able to get back in time. And can you turn this mic on here?
It's on.
It's on? Okay. A while back, I purchased this guitar. And we've used it off and on. Now, the reason I purchased it earlier is because I got such a great deal on it. But I would like to ask Brother Colt if he would play this guitar instead, because it actually belongs to him. Now, that's pretty. And I want him to know on behalf of his mom and dad and New Heights Baptist Church that we purchased him a very nice lifetime warranty, wonderful, beautiful guitar. Amen. And this will last him and serve him well for the rest of his life. And so I guess you might as well play this one. It actually belongs to you. You didn't know that, but it actually belongs to you. God bless you, Brother Colt. We love you. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. I forgot to mention, we're going to take up a love offering tonight, and this is going, of course, to go to their family. So I pray that you'll have a part of that with us. All right, now, brother.
Okay. All right. Father, we love you, and we're thankful for this opportunity and this occasion, Lord, where you've brought Brother Cole to this place in his life. And I just pray that you'd help him, Father, as he works through the process of the questioning and, Lord, his call. I just thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in the lives of people. And, Father, you're so good and gracious to allow us any opportunity to serve you, to do anything for you. What a wonderful thing that is. We just pray that you bless this offering, help it to meet the needs. Thank you for everything that you do in our lives, for your grace that we experience every day. So just bless and have your hand upon the rest of this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
me that's where I dropped it. Couldn't you see I was looking all over for that? I know he was really dreaming I would give him that Martin, but I'm not giving him that one. He's going to have to wait till I die to get that one. Maybe a little bit sooner if he's lucky. Better lucky than rich, my pappy used to say, you know, but we thank God for that. Okay, Presbytery, I'd like to ask you if you would go ahead and take your place up here on the platform with us. You preachers, thank you. Please come on up. If y'all would, come on up and take your place back here with us. And we're going to ask Brother Colt to come. And I want you to know, he's already been put through the ringer. Okay, he really has. And there were some tough questions. And preachers ought to have a few tough questions. And they're going to be ready to go. And we're grateful for that. And all these are former pastors. Brother Jett is a professor, been a professor up there at Heartland for a great many number of years. And all these are very capable ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are Brother Colt, some betters and elders, and that's who ought to really sit in judgment, are those that that have been further down the road than he has. Now, tonight, we're not asking questions of someone who has the experience of these men up here. We're asking someone as a young man various questions to see that they have just a general grasp of the Bible truths that they're going to need to get started. That's really what we are about tonight. So we'd like to first ask him to come, and then Mr. Lisa's going to come, but he's going to come first, and I'm going to ask him if he would to share his testimony of salvation and call to the gospel ministry. Brother Colt, would you come take the microphone, find your place there? Do you want to go ahead and get your Bible, or are you just going to wing it?
As far as my salvation testimony, I grew up in a pastor's home, grew up in this church my whole life. I knew from a young age what it meant to be saved, and even a few times made a profession of faith and asked Jesus to save me. Like I was a bad boy, and I needed to be saved. But don't believe that those were ever a true profession of faith, if you want to call it that. Whenever I was 7 years old, we had a friend day with a puppet skit and a gospel presentation, and I went to the back after the puppet skit and after the children's church, and was able to talk to a helper in children's church about what it meant to be saved. Of course, I already knew what it meant, but I bowed my head there that day. It was in April, whenever I was 7 years old, so that was 22 years ago this month, and I believe I was saved then. I was baptized a few years later whenever I was 10 after just confirming with my parents that I was saved and I understood and all that. Fast forwarding through my teenage years, I doubted my salvation but was able to come to assurance of that through various men in my life and people that helped me, and then the Holy Spirit that just helped me to solidify that. My senior year of high school, last year after I graduated, I went to church camp for the last year, and on Wednesday night, I surrendered my life to the ministry. I'd already surrendered previously before, just do whatever God wanted me to do, but I didn't know that it was ministry. So senior year, I surrendered to preach, and I've never for a second doubted God's call in my life to preach. And that's been solid ever since. So I'm thankful for God's working in my life.
Amen. Amen. So, Brother Colt, you don't think you know God's called you to preach?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Shalice, would you come and share your salvation testimony? Then I have maybe one or two questions for you.
Well, I'm very thankful that this evening my parents are here, and I get an opportunity to bestow a small amount of honor to whom honor is due, because I was raised in a wonderful Christian home, and I'm so thankful for that. My dad, I've always known him as the go-to guy in our church, that he was known to be faithful and able to be called on whenever there was a need. And my parents really modeled that heart of service and a life of ministry. It's never been looked at as a clock in and clock out mentality, but it has always been a life of ministry. And I know my dad was became the pastor when I was 15, but my life didn't really ever change whenever that his role changed. It was always a life of ministry that they modeled, and that's greatly benefited me in my time here at New Heights Baptist Church, and I know it will continue to wherever the Lord places us. But I made many professions of faith as well as a young child and through my teen years, but I never had the peace that passes all understanding, and I always doubted. And one Sunday when I was 17 years old, we had a missionary to Chile come to our church, and he was preaching. But before he ever started preaching, he prefaced the service with the sermon with a warning that God does not always promise to continue to convict you of your need of salvation. If you tell him no enough, you can quench the Holy Spirit. And I knew the sermon was going to be on salvation, and so I braced myself for the conviction that I knew was going to follow again, and the doubt and the confusion. And it was embarrassing because I grew up in that same church, and everyone knew me, and they knew how many times that I had gone forward. But I decided in that sermon that this was it. I was going to go forward one more time, and I was going to try to deal with this situation one more time. And if, you know, I didn't have that peace, I was done living on the fence. I didn't want to live on the fence anymore and have that that doubt in my life. So the invitation came, and I didn't hesitate, and I went right forward, right away. And my mom met me down at the altar, I'm sure with a bit of dread in her heart, because she had dealt with me so many times. So she asked the missionary to come and talk to me, and he read Romans 5:1 that says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the Holy Spirit used that verse to pierce through my soul with conviction. So he turned to me and he asked me, "Shalise," he didn't ask if I was saved, which I'd been asked so many times before, and I could justify an answer for, sure, you know, I'm saved. But he asked me, "Shalise, are you lost?" And when I was faced with that question, after him reading that verse, I knew that I was lost. But my pride wouldn't let me admit it, and I started to hold my breath, and I didn't say anything. I was just thinking through this process. So he asked me a second time, "Shalise, are you lost?" And at that time, I knew I was, in fact, lost, but I just couldn't admit it. I couldn't let that word come out of my mouth. And so he asked me a third time after a long pause of silence, "Shalise, are you lost?" And finally, I just breathed, let out all that breath that I'd been holding. I said, "Yes, I am lost." And I know at that moment that that was when the Lord saved my soul. And I praise the Lord that I've never doubted it since. I prayed after I said yes. I still prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me, and got baptized probably a week or two later. I'm not exactly sure. And I'm just so thankful for that. I have that momentous landmark in my life that I can look back on, and I can know without a shadow of doubt that I am saved. So I knew, fast forward to Bible college, I knew I wanted to be in the ministry. There were other things that I was maybe interested in the beginning, but I knew that they would never have that eternal effect that it would be if I were to be in the ministry and be able to serve God's people. And so I went to Heartland, and that's where I met my friend Colt Foster. And I have to admit, I pretty much fell in love with him from the minute that I met him. It took him a minute to realize that I was the one for him, but he finally made the right decision, so it's okay. But from the moment that I met Colt Foster, he has been unwavering in his call to be a pastor. We've had many conversations about our hopes and our dreams for our future, but he's never had a different hope or dream other than to be a pastor and to serve God's people. And I know that it goes beyond just a hope and a dream, because I believe that he can't not do it. I know that it's not the right way you're supposed to say it, but it's the best way to describe it. He can't not do it. And so I'm excited to fully support him and walk with him in his call to be a pastor.
Amen. Well, you did such a fine job. You answered all my follow-up questions.
Amen.
Amen. Very thorough. Very good. Appreciate that. Very much. Before we go any further, we have a presentation also to give to Shalice other than the check that we will be cutting later for the love offering. That'll go to her, and then she and Brother Colt can decide how they're going to spend that together. But we have a little something. I tell you, you know, it's true. You say behind every good man is a great woman. And I appreciate Miss Shalice and her engagement with her husband and her belief in her husband and the Lord's grace and goodness. And it means a whole lot. Boy, it means a whole lot to have a good woman standing by your side. And so we have a little presentation for her as well.
No guitar, Brother Jim. No guitar. So come ahead.
Brother Colt, this is a good picture. Why don't you just come up and get into the picture there? Okay, Brother Gabe, take your picture. Okay. All right, this time we have asked, all of these men are preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're Baptist preachers. All right, they're not non-denominational. We are Baptist preachers. New Heights Baptist Church is calling today for the ordination of Brother Colt Foster, and that would be make him a Baptist preacher. All right, we want to be clear about that, and that was made clear in the presbytery, in the private session, and it should be made very clear here tonight publicly. We're going to ask, and I think most everyone here, you are aware of all of them. They did not know each other. They've introduced themselves to each other earlier, but we're not going to take the time to ask them to introduce themselves again, but they're going to come one at a time and ask some pertinent questions to Brother Colt. And he'll address the congregation and understand the discernment overall is for the church. But they serve as servants of the church at our request for the inquiry and recommendation to Brother Colt. First, of course, we have Brother Hires. Brother Ed Pearson was going to be coming. He was going to be actually speaking this morning. But tragedy with his son and then his son-in-law and a drive-by shooting up there, he just had to bail out. And so our prayers are out to him, a good friend and no stranger also to this ministry. But Brother Hires, always a good friend and willing to step in a pinch and just help us out. He's going to come and ask Brother Colt questions about the inspiration of the Bible and our King James Bible.
I hope you don't hold it against me, but your pastor and I were born in the same town, Jacksonville, Florida. Except I was way back in the last century, and he was a little later in the last century. But Colt, God gave me the privilege of many years preaching the Word in the Amazon, the Word of God. I didn't have a King James Bible, but I believe that this is the book that God gave us. I've got a preacher that says more than once, I don't care what you think or what your opinion, what does the book say? I want to know what you believe about the inspiration of the Scripture, the preservation of it, and what we call the KJV.
Amen, sir. I believe that God inspired His Word one time. Inspiration means God breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's going to be preserved from this generation forever, as it says in the book of Psalms. And I believe it's going to be it is preserved in the English language in the King James Bible.
Brother Colt, will you please explain to the New Heights Baptist Church congregation the nature and the attributes of God?
Well, God is holy primarily. He is eternal. He is perfect. is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is omniscient. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the I Am.
Speaking of that, Brother Colt, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." From this passage, can you explain God's personality and eternality as it relates to the phrase, I am that I am?
I am, not I was, not I will be. He had no beginning. He had no end. He is eternal, eternity past, and he will continue to be the same, never changing, in eternity future.
Amen. And Brother Colt, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 says, "For thus sayest the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." This and other passages speak of God's holiness as a moral attribute of God. How does God's holiness set him apart?
Well, God is holy. We are not. We are sinful. We have nothing holy about us. God is holy. He is perfect. He is sinless. In him is no darkness at all, is what the Bible says. And man is sinner.
And our sinner. Thank you, Brother Colt. And when he talks about the impeccability, when we talk about the impeccability of God, what are we referring to?
God's sinlessness.
Amen. Brother Colt, did Christ lay aside any of his divine attributes in his humanity?
No, sir.
And would you please, for the congregation, define omnipresent?
Omnipresent would be everywhere present. He sees all things.
And omnipotent?
Omnipotent is all-powerful. He possesses the power over everything.
And omniscient.
Omniscient means he knows all. Nothing ever occurs to him. Nothing is ever revealed to him. He knows all.
Brother Colt, Orthodox Christianity maintains the teaching of a Holy Trinity. And since the word Trinity means three, is there more than one God?
There is only one God.
Are there persons of the Godhead?
Yes, sir.
Can you name the persons of the Godhead?
Three persons of the Godhead would be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Colt.
All right, Brother Colt. I want to ask you some questions concerning man and the need of personal salvation and Christian work. First of all, we talked about earlier the fall of man there in Genesis, what took place because of the fall of man to mankind?
Well, Adam sinned and passed the sinful seed down throughout all humanity, through him all men are sinners.
And because of all men being sinners, does that refer to personal salvation or a assembly salvation?
All men individually, personally, must believe. It's not a corporate thing or a group thing. It's individual choices made by each individual man.
Amen. What does Romans 3:23 teach us?
Romans 3:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Is that Romans 3:23?
Reverse it. You're close.
I'm close. I'm quoting the wrong one. There you go. Romans 3:23. I was quoting 6:23. My bad. 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
And what does Romans 6:23?
I'm second guessing myself.
Tell us, Colt.
"For the wages of sin is death." Did you get the right one? "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
So that's what, according to Scripture, what's the punishment for sin?
Death.
To everyone?
Yes, sir, to everyone.
Amen. If a man continues in his natural, or a woman, natural physical journey to the grave, knowing that God's will that none perish, will God's love carry him over into glory?
No, sir. They have to make a personal decision to believe in their heart and to confess with their mouth their faith in Jesus Christ.
And all the people said, Amen. Bless you, brother.
Colt, we'd like to address some issues regarding last time. So could you tell us what the Bible teaches regarding rapture of the believer and the second coming of Christ?
Well, eschatology would be the study of last times or last things. The beginning of those things would be the rapture, which means the catching away of the saints or the church of God. This happens before a 7-year tribulation. Church does not pass through the tribulation. They are raptured before that. The second coming of Christ is at the end of the 7-year tribulation, where he comes in great power and glory to set up his literal millennial reign on the earth.
Yes, good job. Thank you.
I wanted to, before we discuss a little bit, could you tell us what you believe about Satan?
Satan is a created being. He's not the brother of Jesus or anything like that. He is an angel created by God. He chose to rebel against God and was cast out of heaven, along with a third of the holy angels that chose to rebel with him. He is now walking about on the earth, seeking whom he may devour, walking to and fro as the accuser of the brethren. Eventually, he's going to be defeated, and he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be forever and ever.
Does Satan have power over God's children?
No, sir, he does not.
Can you tell me what you believe about hell?
Hell is a literal place. It was created originally for Satan and his demons, but it's also the place that souls go, people go, that have not accepted.
Okay, and can you tell me what you believe about heaven?
Heaven is also a literal place. It's reserved for those who have called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen. Is there any intermediary place that people go when they die?
No, sir. It's either heaven or hell.
Okay, very good. And then, in both of those places, are they eternal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted to ask one other thing just in relation to the Holy Spirit. Could you tell us what you believe about tongues and some of the charismatic focus on gifts like healing or prophecy?
I believe those gifts were given to the early church as specifically miracles and healings were given to authenticate the gospel of which the apostles preached. Tongues were known languages. And those gifts have ceased from the early church.
Do you believe they ceased when God's word was completed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Brother Colt, I need to ask you some things about the church. Can you very simply define for me what a church is?
Church is a called out assembly of saved and baptized people.
Can you tell me when the first church was established?
Jesus Christ started his church on this earth during his earthly ministry.
Can you tell me what is the function of the church?
The function of the church is to see souls saved primarily. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the gospel, teaching them, baptizing them into a church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them further the rest of the word of God and instructing them in the ways of how to live and be a Christian.
Jesus left the church 2 ordinances. Can you tell me what those 2 ordinances are?
The 2 ordinances are baptism by immersion water baptism, and the Lord's Supper.
All right. And then I asked you earlier, you're raised in a Baptist home, you're raised in a Baptist church. This ordination council is all Baptist preachers. And I ask you if you considered yourself a Baptist. I personally feel like the old woman that was always talking about being part of a Baptist church and what wonderful people Baptists were and how thankful she was a Baptist. Finally, one of her co-workers got tired of hearing all that, said, well, what would you do one day if somebody knocked on your door and you opened it and there was Jesus and he said he wasn't a Baptist? She said, if he said he wasn't a Baptist, I know it wasn't Jesus. Are you a Baptist, and if so, why?
I am a Baptist by conviction. It's not just something that's been passed down to me from my parents. It's something that I have accepted as the truth and as the Bible, and I believe all the Baptist doctrines, and I hold to those in my life.
Amen. Brother Colt, can you give us an explanation, your beliefs on the creation of all things?
The creation of all things happens just as Genesis says, the first few chapters of Genesis, is to be taken as a literal historical account. When God says in his word that he created all things in six literal days, that means six literal days, not 6,000 years equals a day. It's to be taken as a historical, literal creation.
Brother Colt, one other question concerning creation, and we've been through quite a bit of that earlier in the session, but in the creation of man, being created, as Genesis account says, in the likeness of God, in his image, and the attack upon the nature of human beings, how do you feel concerning the new movement of alternate lifestyle, and was man created? Just give us an understanding of man being created, men and women, individually different.
Okay. Yes, God created, in the beginning, male and female. There's only those two. There will always, only, and forever be those two, man and woman. And any type of change of that or identifying or change of identification with that is a perversion. It is a lie. God only made man and woman. He created them to be married. God's plan is one man, one woman for life. And any other changes or additions to those things that God created is a perversion and is unbiblical.
Thank you very much.
Brother Colt, my question is about Israel. Did Israel always exist, or who started Israel, and how did that take place?
Well, God started the nation of Israel through Abraham.
All right, what was the purpose in God calling out a people, a nation, the chosen people of Israel? Why did God set that all up?
Well, God called out Israel, Abraham, and through him that all nations of the earth would be blessed and to represent him and to share him with the world.
Well, what happened when Jesus came into the world, his incarnation? Was he received? Can you address if he was received or he was rejected by Israel?
The Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not.
Would you say that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is Israel and Israel the church, or are they distinct?
They are separate. Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel.
Is God finished with Israel?
No, sir.
Will Israel be once again and highly engaged in the work of God, and how? Can you explain that?
Yes, sir. Israel will be engaged in the work of God, primarily in the tribulation, where there's going to be 144,000 witnesses to witness two souls and people during that time.
All right, thank you. Brother Howard is going to come and deal with human sexuality and marriage.
If y'all will remember, Jesus was questioned on one occasion. Colt, the religious leaders told Jesus about a man that got married, he died, and according to the Mosaic law, a brother married him. She married about seven of them. And they said, in heaven, and by the way, these Sadducees didn't believe there was heaven, but they said, in heaven, whose wife will you be? And Jesus gave us this answer about human sexuality. It wasn't written in chapter and verses, but he quoted Genesis 2:24. And he said, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, male and female. What do you believe?
I believe that to be exactly right. What Jesus said, Jesus validated the creation account.
Brother Colt, will you please define to the church what soteriology means?
Soteriology is the study of salvation, the doctrine of salvation.
Amen. Brother Colt, I have been visiting your church for 2 or 3 months, and we have set a meeting to discuss me becoming a member of your church, but I am not a redeemed child of God, and I have not been born again. But I do want to be saved. That is my desire. Would you please tell the church the key elements you would discuss with me as you publicly illustrate how you would lead me to the Lord?
Well, first thing is we have to have an understanding that you are lost and that you are a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior. That would be the place to start. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. And come Amen. Short of the glory of God, and that you are in need of a Savior. You cannot be saved in and of yourself. There's nothing you can do without Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him places their faith. Romans 10 says, believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. And that is how someone would be saved and be regenerated by the Holy Spirit.
Would you bring any discussion with me during that meeting about repentance?
Yes, sir. Repentance is necessary for salvation. You have to repent of your sins, which is an inner change or a heart change, which is then reflected by works or fruit, as John the Baptist says, and also Jesus and I believe Paul, bring you therefore work or fruit meet for, appropriate for the salvation, for the repentance.
And in the heart change, when it comes to faith, is there any portion of that repentance in which there's to be a change of mind?
Yes, sir.
So it's a change of mind and a change of heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Colt.
Okay, men, preachers, do y'all have any follow-up questions for Brother Colt? Okay. All right. I'd like to just speak just briefly about the fact that Brother Cole has been raised up in one church. Now, I know he went off to Bible college and involved in a couple other churches, but that was short-term in nature and really on loan, you know, on loan. So he's raised up here. So all of his life, he's been trained, all of his life. I've told him for so many times, you're being trained in ways you don't even realize you're being trained. You know, and that's the same way it was with my folks in a Christian home. And so we've seen him grow up from when he was a little bitty tyke. And, you know, so we know him. And certainly following the admonition of the Lord not to place hands suddenly on any man. So we appreciate his training and his follow-up. At this time, I'd like to open up any questions from the floor, understanding we've already gone into great detail. And I do reserve the right as the pastor and moderator of this meeting that if you stand and you ask some harebrained question to try to get this young man and embarrass him before the assembly, his holy assembly, I reserve the right to ask you a question. Amen. And I bet you wouldn't know the answer. So if you don't want to be embarrassed, don't try to embarrass him. Fair enough? Fair enough, all God's people said? Yep. All right, but saying that, if there is a question that you feel led of the Lord in the Spirit to ask Brother Colt before we hear a formal recommendation from this presbytery, would you raise your hand? You'll be recognized. Members only. Ms. Joanne, do you have a question?
No, ma'am, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Anyway, now listen, members, you understand my heart here. You have a question. I want you to feel free to ask your question. Miss Sherry?
That would be my human goal, but if God... yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that church will have something to say about that as well. So it's going to be... that's his goal. That's his desire. And we pray the Lord would grant that desire. And that's a good desire, by the way. That's a good desire. Okay, anyone else? Members? Brother Rick?
Absolutely. The Bible says that there is safety in a multitude of counselors, and I do not know everything, and I'll be the first to admit that.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Okay, Brother Daniel.
Off the top of my head.
No.
Off the top of my head.
Would you like to share that with the congregation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor and deacon. Yes.
I think so. Well, you did good by crown, brother. You did good by crown, Brother Sexton. We thank God for that. All right. Any other questions? All right, Brother. Okay. Speak now forever. Hold your peace. All right. Brother Shane, on behalf of the Presbytery, is going to come with a formal recommendation.
Whether he remembers it or not, I appreciate Pastor Foster saying that I could take a few minutes to make this personal. You did say that. That's my girl right there. And I can't say that I did, but I did pray for her future husband. But I know her mother prayed for her whole life, every day, most likely. And she prayed that God would give her the right husband with the right heart. And our intention was always for that to be someone who loved God. He didn't have to be a pastor. He had to be a missionary. Just a man who loved God and lived for God. I promised Colt when he took my daughter's hand in marriage. I don't have any son-in-law jokes. I have no time for that. I have no room for that. I love my son-in-law. I love his testimony. I love his zeal for ministry. He has a great family. He has a great heritage in his family. He's fantastic to my daughter and to his children. And I'm thankful for the man that God has put in my daughter's life. I'm thankful for his determination to please God with his life. And I get to add that, as I say, on behalf of these men, we, with respect and honor, can recommend him for ordination to what's the name? New Heights Baptist Church. I think I'm more nervous than Colt is, but Pastor.
Do I have a motion to accept the recommendation of the Presbytery called by order of New Heights Baptist Church and duly a pastor? Amen. Do we have a second? Brother Greg? All those in favor, would you please stand? Members, please stand. If you're in favor of the ordination, Brother Colt Foster. Thank you so much. You please be seated. I believe that's unanimous. If it's not, you stand up all by yourself. The vote is unanimous, and we thank God for that. Okay. Next, we're going to have a special by Ms. Shalise. Ma'am, would y'all prefer just to have a seat back out here? You'd be more comfortable. I don't mind you sitting behind me. I trust every one of you. I really do, or they wouldn't be here. I really do. And I thank God for each and every one of these men. But she's going to come. She's going to sing a beautiful song. She always says, oh, she's going to play and sing over there at the same time. All right.
With a scroll of paper, a pen in his hand, writing to the churches all abroad. So many were still wondering what they were called to do, to follow him as he had followed God. Paul thought of what to say to those who had passed his way, to keep the fight in the coming days. With the Holy Spirit guiding, his letter came with haste, and in this letter was this simple phrase: walk worthy and serve your God. Walk worthy with every step that you trod, though the road ahead is difficult and quitting is so easy. Remember that we have all been called to walk worthy. Nearly 2,000 years have passed, and God's word is still true. Calling for us all is still the same. So many are still wandering without a ray of light. Upon their shoulders lie still grief and shame. But we are called to be a light, to share his gospel in the night, to withstand the darts, proclaim his holy word. And though trials will come our way, we can stand and gladly say, we have kept our calling by the Lord, to walk worthy and serve our God. Walk worthy with every step that we trod, road ahead is difficult and quitting is so easy. Remember that we have all been called. Walk worthy and serve our God. Walk worthy with every step that we trod, and quitting is so easy. Remember that we have all been called to walk worthy. Remember that we have
Well, this is a wonderful occasion, and I don't mean to make a liar out of myself, but I'll let you stand if you would. But we're going to read scripture, but it's really just you stretch your legs a little bit. So if you would, everyone stand up, stretch your legs just a little bit, and help us get a good final finish here to what we're looking to do. My job, of course, tonight is to charge Brother Colt Foster. So I will primarily be addressing him. And Ms. Shalise, if you could slip out in the front. And Shalise, I think, has a good caregiver right there beside, or Shalise, Renly has a good caregiver right there beside us, because I need to be addressing both of you. And not every pastor gets to preach the charge of his own son. So what an honor is mine. We, of course, start with the charge for the preacher to preach the Word of God, found, of course, from the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, we are humbled and honored to be here tonight in this holy occasion. We pray, Father, you'd bless this charge to this my son and our son in this church in ministry. Bless him and Shalise for all the remaining days of their lives. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. A preacher's prioritized work must always be the preaching of the Word of God. Now, certainly the pulpit ministry of each church is vital to the health of any church. And you must be that preacher to that church. The work of God in that place and beyond that place around the world through our mission efforts and mentoring efforts. Yet this preaching is done from your life. It's not just done from your head. It's not done from research on the internet. It's done from your life. And it's done at all times. It will be more than what you do. It will be who you are.